You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. It is election day, and from mayoral to school board election, there's a lot on the ballot today. Joining us to dive into some unprecedented school board elections is Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Gemma. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Okay, so let's just start with this. How many school board elections or races are going on today?
Well, let's try to put it into perspective, because still in the big picture, a lot of school board races are uncontested. A lot of school board seats kind of go begging, where district officials, especially in rural Idaho, really have to reach out and look for somebody who's willing to volunteer to be on the school board. Because remember, that's what these are volunteer elected positions. And I would imagine it's even tougher right now to find people to volunteer, given the scrutiny that's been focused on school boards across the state. So the majority of school board races are still pretty much ho-hum affairs, but about a third, almost a third of candidates around the state, about a third of school board races around the state are contested. And we've got contested races in 48 school districts out of 115 school districts across the state. And both of those numbers are up from where they were 2 years ago, last election cycle.
And Kevin, these races have become much more politicized than, you know, what they used to be, which was low profile, low turnout races. I mean, you were begging people to come to the polls and vote for school board elections. Why has this changed?
Well, I think you've got a confluence of factors that have played into that. First and foremost is what we've all been going through the past 20 months with pandemic and school protocols, whether we're talking about mask mandates or social distancing, or the pivoting from online learning to hybrid learning to in-person learning. All of the decisions that school boards have had to make over the past 20 months have really energized a lot of parents and a lot of potential voters. So that's the biggest factor. The other factors are, we're talking about school board elections here on the first Tuesday in November. You know, time was not too long ago, a couple of years ago, these school board races were being held in May. They were standalone elections, and there really wasn't a whole lot of interest. So the legislature a couple of years ago voted to move school board elections to November. This was before the pandemic, in hopes of trying to improve turnout. And I think part of what you're seeing right now is you're seeing groups paying much more attention to school board elections. This is happening nationally, and it's happening at the state level as well. Groups that normally would pay more attention to legislative races or statewide races or congressional races are fixing some of that attention on local, quote unquote, nonpartisan races such as school board and city council and mayor.
So let's talk about the largest school district in the state, which is West Ada. And there are two races in particular that have become not just quite partisan, Kevin, but I mean, really pricey. And again, really? That is not something that we've really seen in the past.
Right. And I want to say, first of all, it's a little bit of radio silence right now in terms of how spendy these races are. The numbers we have are a month old, and that's the most recent numbers that school board candidates have had to report. It's a quirky, wonky piece of election law, but basically we're not gonna see new sets of numbers from any school board candidates until next week, you know, after everybody's voted. But here's what we do know in West Ada. Lori Frazier, a candidate out there, has raised more than $20,000. I wanna say it's about $21,000. Angie Redford, who is running as a ticket, I think it's fair to say, she's raised a little bit over $11,000. She even got some of that money from Frazier. Those are not huge numbers, but we're starting to see that kind of fundraising. You're getting a little bit closer to what you would normally see in a legislative race. And we just have not seen that happening in school board races in the past. I went back and looked. You had one contested race in West Ada in 2019. Amy Johnson, unseated and incumbent Mike Wheatonay. Johnson, I want to say she raised a little bit less than $6,000 to win in the largest district in the state. Wheaton A raised about $1,100, as I recall, and it all came from one donor. So it's not exactly like Wheaton A was going out, shaking the tree for fundraising. So this is different.
Right.
It feels different. And I'll be really curious to see what those Sunshine reports tell us after the fact.
You wrote in a recent analysis, and I'm going to quote your article. It says, "What's happening in West Ada this fall isn't new, but it comes as conservatives nationwide mobilized over CRT and COVID-19 appear to be focusing on school board elections and trustee recalls. To some, the school board backlash echoes 2010. Kevin, that seems to really encompass what is going on, not just in West Ada, but as you noted, across the nation.
Right. If you watch cable news, you know that there's been so much public backlash over critical race theory, social emotional learning, indoctrination. You know, name your catchword, your catchphrase, your buzzword. And there's been a lot of backlash over masking in schools, about social distancing in schools, about the threat, which is really not really a threat at all. It's not going to happen in Idaho, of any kind of vaccine mandate involving K-12 students. It's just not going to happen. But at the national level, you have all of this debate over all of these issues, and it's turbocharged school board races around the country. And we're seeing elements of that in Idaho, maybe not to the same extent, but you're seeing elements of it in some districts, not all districts.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News, talking about today's school board elections. But Kevin, I want to switch gears a bit because I want to talk about the lawsuit that the state of Idaho joined last week. This is in regards to a federal vaccine mandate that I believe would go into effect on December 8th. So how would this federal vaccine mandate that the Biden administration is putting in place extend to colleges and universities?
Yeah, this is the one Biden administration vaccine mandate that really does affect education, really does affect higher education, and why it covers any federal contractor. And universities are federal contractors. They receive, well, in the case of the three Idaho universities, they receive a total of $89 million in federal contracts, mostly in research. And universities are always looking to increase and broaden their research portfolio. It is a big part of their mission. So the Biden administration vaccine mandate essentially requires all federal contractors to have all of their employees get vaccinated, unless you can cite a medical or religious exemption. Well, that's going to court. We knew it was going to go to court. And we have now three different lawsuits challenging that particular mandate. And late Friday afternoon, early Friday evening, depending on how you want to time it, Idaho announced that it was signing on to one of those lawsuits. So this is going to be embroiled in the courts for who knows how long. But we've been wondering if any of these vaccine mandates would have any sort of an impact in the education world. Certainly this one does. And it all comes as we're waiting for the legislature to come back to town in 2 weeks to look at vaccine mandates. I think this changes the tone and the tenor of that discussion when lawmakers get back to town as well.
And Governor Little wrote a letter to President Biden on Friday, correct? And he making the argument that this mandate could impact private businesses that are connected to college campuses. So how does that work, Kevin?
I think what Little was saying, because I read that letter closely, and there really was no reference to colleges and universities, but there was a lot of emphasis on businesses, because a lot of businesses also get federal contracts, and they too would be affected by this particular executive order. I think, we knew that this was going to be a debate over vaccine mandates in private business. I mean, that's how the debate has sort of been framed in Idaho all along. It's been about businesses, particularly about hospitals. But again, now we're seeing how this could affect you know, colleges and universities that have so far operated under Governor Little's own executive order, which says no state agency can require vaccines or vaccine passports for any state services. I mean, that's been the landscape in Idaho since April, and the Biden executive order, now that it, you know, as it hits court, that potentially changes the whole landscape.
And to put another wrinkle in this, the Idaho State Board of Education is a party to this particular lawsuit, but they actually have to vote on this, Kevin, and that's going to come up later today.
Right. The State Board's going to meet at 2 this afternoon to discuss the executive order and the State Board's response. You know, I would be surprised if the State Board resists the idea of signing on to this lawsuit. We'll be at the meeting. We'll have coverage of it later today. I think the actual State Board signing on to the lawsuit is a bit of a formality, but we'll see what sort of discussion the board has about the potential impact on universities.
So what do you think the odds are that the state will actually be able to hold off this mandate? Because it is set to take effect December 8th.
Well, I'm no lawyer, but...
neither am I.
No, but a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in on a seminar for education writers, and this is where I first started to think about this executive order and the implications for higher education. A law professor with Arizona State University, and Arizona is in the same political world as Idaho on this. You've got a Republican governor, you've got a Republican attorney general, both are opposed to vaccine mandates, and you've got 3 universities that have a research and contract component, including Arizona State. This law professor with Arizona State was saying he thinks the feds will ultimately prevail in this, that it's a classic federalism debate, but he thinks the case law is eventually going to come down on the side of the feds, especially when you view the case law in the context of a public health crisis, a global pandemic. Now, granted, this professor was very upfront saying, you know, he supports, you know, mandatory vaccinations on campus. So, that, you know, he's viewing it maybe through that prism. But, you know, lawyers are going to have a lot of fun with this because it is it's a great federalism debate about who decides what sort of public health directives are in place. Is that a state decision or is that a federal decision?
Yeah. Well, Kevin, always good to have you on the show to break everything down for us. We've been talking with Kevin Richard with Idaho Ed News. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Anytime.
More Idaho Matters next.